Hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you. Today I'm talking to Christine Luking about our relationship with money, emotional freedom, and creating peace and alignment with your finances. Christine is a financial coach, has spent the last 18 years helping people transform their relationship with money in a compassionate and empowering way. We are going to be talking about crystals as well, so don't go away, everybody. This is really important. So this is going to be such an uplifting, important conversation, so let's dive in. Welcome, Christine.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
What do you like about my little stutter on the podcast to begin with? I'm a bit wild like that. I think there's no point in redoing it. That's who I am. You know, that's it.
No, I love it.
So let's start at the very beginning. Can you share your journey? I know you're you have an accounting degree, et cetera, but just talk about what you do, who you are.
Yeah. Well, I did not get into financial coaching because I've always been perfect with money. In fact, it was quite the opposite. So despite having an accounting degree and working in banking and corporate accounting, I found myself at age 26 in a financial hole. I had been in a relationship with a man who, let's just be honest, he was a bum, a bit of a bum. I was basically pulling most of the weight financially in the relationship. And that had really put me in a bad place financially. I found myself in debt quite a bit. And I wanted to leave the relationship, but I had no money to leave. Right. So I had collectors calling. I was behind on all my credit cards. So it wasn't like I could just leave and start over. I had to reach out to family and see if I could get some help. Thankfully, my dad said, you know what, you can come and you can stay with me and your stepmom for a few months, but I'm not paying your bills. I'm not going to lend you money. I'm not going to clean up your mess for you. Mm-hmm. What I will do is give you a safe place to regroup, and I will help you make a plan to start fixing your finances. And there was a lot of shame and guilt around my money mess because I was someone who knew better. I had all of the head knowledge, and yet I had allowed my heart to hijack my wallet. Mm. And I stayed in my mess longer than I needed to because of the embarrassment. And thankfully, my father was very gracious. You know, he didn't sugarcoat the mess that I got myself into, but he also didn't hold it over my head or say, I told you so, or even say, you know, I told you that guy was no good for you, which of course he did. and, you know, it took some time to rectify the mess that I had gotten myself into, but, you know, not supporting a grown man child, I made progress pretty quickly. And I got to the point to where I started to get really curious, like, why do smart people like me, who were on the honor roll, who know what they're supposed to be doing, like, why do we do dumb stuff with money? And it's because money is emotional. And now we hear a lot about behavioral finance and, you know, money mindset and things of that nature. But this was 25 years ago. Like, nobody was talking about this kind of stuff. There was some talk in the psychology world about the psychology of money, but it was completely separate from what was being taught in personal finance. You know, at that time, what was being taught was, here's this list of things that you need to do. And if you just follow and complete this checklist, then you're going to be fine. Well, the problem is people run up against their emotions and it keeps them from doing things on the checklist. And rather than understanding that money is emotional, and getting to the root of what these emotional blocks are, people would just feel like, I'm stupid. I can't do this. What's wrong with me? Like, I see other people who are able to, you know, have success on this person's plan and I can't. There must be something wrong with me. And that's the wrong question. It's not what's wrong with me. The right question is, what happened to me that is making me behave this way? And so that's when I started helping people with their personal finances. Once I got to a place where I felt good and peaceful about my own money, I wanted to pay it forward and help other people. And I never intended to turn this into a career because I was making good money as an accountant. But the more I helped people and I saw the transformation, it was just so emotionally rewarding for me to be able to help people through the same types of situations that I had gone through myself.
Yeah. It's funny. You've just answered one of my questions, actually. Because a lot of people, when things go wrong with money, they're in the fear and the guilt and the shame mode, aren't they?
Yes.
And you can get, you know, personally, when my son was, I don't know, 7, same situation, big debt, had to start again. In fairness, for me, leaving the father of the child, of my son's thing, was the release of being able to think, right, the freedom, I can do it myself, yes. But for listeners that are listening and they are in that block of fear, shame, etc., stress, what would be your go-to answer for them?
Yeah, so this is essentially what I call the money shame cycle, because when we do something wrong with money, initially we feel guilt. And guilt is not a negative emotion, because guilt tells us, hey, you did something wrong. The problem is if we internalize it and we make it mean something about us, we've changed it from I did something wrong to I'm a bad person because I did this wrong thing. And shame makes us want to hide. And the problem with that is we don't get the help that we need. We don't seek the knowledge that would help us to correct what we did wrong, and we complete the cycle. So when we do something wrong and we initially feel that guilt that says, oh, I did something wrong, that's the time to get curious and say, okay, I did this thing and it didn't work out. What knowledge or what help do I need in order to either clean up this mess, so to speak, you know, to make this right, or to educate myself so I can do better next time? You know, it's really that moment of catching yourself before you take that guilt and turn it into the weapon of shame and hold it against yourself. And that can be hard because our emotions can feel really, really loud. And unfortunately, I think we have all had the experience, at least I have, of having a financial professional make you feel bad about a mistake you made or about your lack of knowledge. And so for me, it was a CPA that, you know, said something to me, and I was just, you know, he made me feel so ashamed about my financial situation. And I was already a financial coach at this point, you know, so none of us are immune to that. And so, you know, we need to find safe sources of information. So not just saying, okay, I'm going to get the correct information here, but I'm also not going to get judged for this.
Yeah.
And so I am that safe space for a lot of people. I tell people, you know what? You are never going to get judgment from me because I know how that feels. This is a safe space. I have a lot of resources so you can get that correct financial information and framework and those checklists to take you from where you are to where you want to be. But it's also this space of non-judgment and, you know, we're all in process and we're never going to be perfect with money.
And that is the truth. It's interesting. My next question to you is, how much does our childhood or upbringing shape our relationship with money? And you said your father was there for you. So that's amazing. And in fairness, my mom was there for me. And she would only give me, I had a child, she would give me food parcels. She wouldn't give me the money. And she had the money. It was a real learning thing for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who haven't, haven't had the upbringing around money, how would you explain it that I'm not explaining it properly?
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because when we're born, we have a blank slate. We don't have any opinions about money. And we start collecting those from our parents, from our family of origin. And, you know, when we're young, we don't have the judgment to question, is this correct or is this not correct? Our brains actually don't start forming that until around the age of 6 or 7. So whatever our parents said about money, you know, whatever we heard, you know, extended family, any adult of importance in your life, we just took that to be the truth. And so I think really the first step is to start uncovering, what do I think about money and what do I say about money? So much of this is on autopilot that we don't even notice it. And it's so interesting, as I have conversations with people, they will say something and I'm like, stop right there. What did you just say? And they're like, I don't know. What did I just say?
Yeah.
And then I say it back to them and they're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Right. And so then we start to look at that and say, where did that come from? And is this still serving us? Is this something we still want to have on repeat? And if not, what is a more helpful replacement for that? Rather than saying like, you know, it's hard to get rich, I'll never have enough money. It's like, do you, you know, as you say these things, you're creating more of that. So I like to say words are wands. So your words are like a magic wand. They are creating what you say. And so many people are not even conscious about the things that they're saying about money.
And that's the interesting thing, because obviously, you know how highly I'm into manifesting. And I try to explain to people that the universe, you accept that your mobile phone goes to your friend's mobile phone and they get the message. Yeah?
Yes.
Just because you pay for it. But it's still all these text messages flying around us at the moment. So how do you not think that the universe isn't here listening to us now?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're just going to hand over to our sponsors. You're listening to Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio with me, Janine Lowe. Stay with us and after the break, as we talk about sacred money, spirituality and prosperity with Christine Lucan.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
the station that makes you feel good.
So this is interesting because you know how much I'm into spirituality and I was on your show and I know you're a very spiritual person. So my question here, you said spirituality is no longer confined to a Sunday morning sermon and that your religion is love and the world is your church. Tell us about that philosophy behind it.
Oh my gosh. We could probably do a whole entire podcast about this. About this whole topic, but you know, I was raised in a very, I was raised Catholic. In my young adult life, most of my adult life, I was in a non-denominational Christian church, and it's only been until recently that I have released the religious labels because I realized that they weren't empowering me. And they were really putting a lid on God.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with money, what I realized is, you know, growing up, I was taught that money was sacrilegious, that money and God were at odds with each other. Because you would hear these things like, you can't serve two masters. Like, you either get to pick God or money. And if you pick God, then you get no money or you get just enough money to get by and you should be grateful for that. And I even had pastors tell me that, you know, that money was evil or there was a spirit of greed attached to money. And as I got into this work with personal finances, I came to this realization that money is a tool. So, you know, I can use this pen and Janine, I could write the most beautiful letter about you and tell you all the things that I appreciate about you and that I love about you. Or I could use this pen to write hate mail to you. Now, you don't love this pen or hate this pen, right? It's like your response to the letter is to me, not the pen. And unfortunately, especially in society, like every single Disney movie, the villain is always rich and evil.
Always.
Right. And the hero or the heroine is like this beautiful soul, but they have no money, at least at the beginning.
Yes.
Right. And so we have demonized money. And so we have this push-pull. It's like we want more of it, but we're ashamed that we want it.
Yeah.
And it's just like money doesn't care. Money is, you know, I used to think that money was neutral, that money was just this tool. If it's in my hands and I'm a good person, then, you know, then it's a good tool. But if you put that tool in a greedy person's hand, then yes, that can be a bad tool, and it can amplify who and what that person is. But what I've come to realize is that money can actually be a sacrament if we meet it with our highest spiritual energy. I have seen all the good that money can do in the world, and there are so many big-hearted people who, if they had money in their hands, and they had the proper education and emotional intelligence to use it in a way that's not going to hurt people or hurt themselves, it can do amazing, wonderful things in the world. You know, we can create a very beautiful life for ourselves. We can help a lot of different charities that are dear to our hearts. We can help out family members who may not have the same advantages that we do. And so, you know, for me, it's been this releasing of the dogma, releasing of pretty much the negativity and seeing money as energy, seeing money as a spiritual energy that can be used to do wonderful things in the world. And so that is becoming my message and my platform these days.
It's very interesting. I was brought up like you as a Catholic. Wouldn't get me in a vineyard, in case the devil was hiding in there. That was the books I was brought up on. I didn't even know at the age of 8, 9 what wine was, but, you know. And also, I think you've really hit something here, because when I released the whole you've got to earn money, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, as soon as you release the energy attached to having to have money to do something, but you want to do something. So for me, whenever I talk, you know, when I have books like Manifest Your Way to Abundance is wealth and other things. And I think it's really, really important. The universe is hearing you. And I learned, I changed my mind about where I wanted to be from the church when I was about 25, 26, because it always made me feel guilty. You know, I never got anything of it. I met some amazing people and everything. But I just believe in spirituality. I believe in something, but I believe it has to be kind with gratitude and all that sort of thing. So yeah. I absolutely get you. And in fairness with me, and my take on money is it comes and it goes. But when I've got it, I do share it. I have my special charities, my little ginger cat rescue things and street cats and all that. And it's really weird. I had a little cat come in the other week, and I think the bill was something like 300 quid. It was ridiculous. And just like that, £300 turned up. Do you know what I mean? I was like, okay, that's it. So that's it. So let's just move on to crystals, because I know you love them. Yes, so I was at Mind Body and Spirit giving a talk on the stage on Saturday, and I was in a room full of crystals, and I thought about you. You know, I was like, she would never get back on the plane. There was so much of it. So tell me about crystals. What's your favorite crystal? What helps you? You know.
Oh my gosh. Well, I will say, you know, I've always been attracted to crystals, but because of my religious background, I never felt released to work with them at the capacity that I do now. And, you know, for me, I just want to dispel the myth that crystals are not a magic fix for your financial problems. There are still practical things that you need to do, you know, in order to manage your finances properly. Yeah. But what crystals can do is they can support you in those actions. And so crystals, each one holds a certain vibration. And so when we bring a crystal into our homes, when we hold it in our hands, basically what we're doing is we are attuning our energy with the energy of the crystal. Now, my absolute favorite, and it is hard to pick favorites, is citrine for abundance. And yes, that is for money, but it's also for abundance in general. And I'm so glad that you made that point, because the truth of the matter is, we don't really want the money. We want what the money represents. So if the money represents our house is paid in full, or we have a cushion of funds in our savings account in case an emergency happens, we don't really want the money itself. We want what it represents. And so citrine is literally like sunshine in a crystal. It helps us with self-confidence so that we can make the right moves that we need to do with our finances. And I mean, I think everybody should have a piece of citrine.
I know. I was working with citrine the other day with a client, and I didn't know how powerful it was. And I was working with citrine and pyrite, I think it was.
Oh, yes, I have a nice big piece of it right here that I just brought back from Mount Shasta.
Yeah, so when I was going around the festival, I was like, has anyone got any pyrite like this? But I did pick it up, and I didn't get the right feeling. My friend who came to support me, she was like, then you're not meant to. And then I picked up another one, which actually was all about me, and I can't remember what name it is. But I think it's you know, I get it. I wasn't until I wrote Feng Shui Your Way to Abundance, and I had to learn about crystals and people around it. I did not get it. Yet my son loves crystals. Yeah. And he has the most amazing crystals, and he says I'm so late to the whole thing because they've been around for so long, and what are you suddenly liking them now, mum, you know? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, I was doing something else obviously. So do you do anything with the crystals that my listeners could
Yeah, I do. So I provide crystal wisdom codes readings. And what those are is someone comes to me with a question where it's typically a turning point or a crossroads in their life where they say, what do I need to know or do about the next move in my career? Or I'm considering several investments. I don't know what road to take, or, you know, and honestly, yeah, it could be about anything. It doesn't even have to be about money or career. And so I intuitively select three different crystals to sit with and receive messages from. And this is a certification that I went through where I learned experientially a lot of different ways to gather wisdom from the crystals. And sometimes it comes through as a stream of words. Sometimes it comes in almost like a daydream where I see like a movie in my mind and I just write it down. I don't judge it. And then I deliver it to that person. And it's so interesting how accurate they are. And it's so interesting which types of crystals come forward. So I know you said like, oh, I connected with a particular crystal. It just wasn't for me. I think one of the things, one of the points I'd like to make is that, you know, crystals, because of their physical composition, they hold a very steady frequency. So every single citrine is holding a particular frequency. And you can almost think of it as like their profession, but each citrine has a different personality. So you could pick up and hold five or six different pieces of citrine. They all hold the same general frequency, but there's going to be one where you hold it in your hand and you feel like this is the one for me.
This is interesting because I'm a Reiki master teacher. And as you're talking, which our listeners can't see, my hands are red and they are beaming white in the middle. So obviously we're on the favorite subject, but we're just going to stop for a little while as we hand over to our sponsors. So after the break, we're going to be talking about practical ways to create more financial peace and emotional freedom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back. And I just don't want to stop talking about crystals, but we've only got like 20 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we talk about things that can help our listeners. So if somebody listening feels completely overwhelmed by money, where should they begin?
Well, I think the very first thing is to get a good book on the basics of personal finance. Obviously, I'm a little biased, and my book, Money is Emotional, Prevent Your Heart from Hijacking Your Wallet, I think is a great place to start because it really does cover all of the areas of personal finance and the practical things that you need to do. But next to those practical things, I also talk about the different emotional pitfalls that might come up as you are dealing with your spending or with debt or obstacles to saving money. Because you can take that and, you know, kind of go through at your own pace. But really, you need to get organized. That's really the first thing. And to get your arms around what exactly is going on in my finances right now. And I think this is the thing that people don't want to do. So if we think about like getting in shape physically, mm-hmm. it's kind of the same thing, right? When you start working with a personal trainer, what's the first thing they do? They put you on the scale, right? That's the last thing you want to do is get on the scale, but they put you on the scale. They take your measurements, you know, they have you, you know, run a quarter mile or try to do as many pushups as you can. And, you know, you're feeling pretty terrible about it because you're like, I know I suck right now because this is why I'm coming to you. But it's important that we know where we stand right now so that we can measure our progress going forward. And so I think that's probably the first and the hardest step is to just say, what's going on right now?
I know it must be. I've been there. So the hardest thing is, what's my outgoings? What's my incomings? Yeah. And it can be scary. And the thing is, you know, in this world now, this is my thought. And for example, butter was something like £1.90, and now it's like £4.50. But the wages here do not match what's happening in the world of inflating everybody's finances. So
yeah,
it is really important to get hold of it and also maybe shop around for butter. I mean, do you know what I mean? How would you,
yes.
you know, that's it. I mean, obviously people, when they get themselves into, you know, financial states and they're not able to borrow money or they're not able to, you know, it is about cutting your cloth and all that. But what's your sort of advice, wisdom on that bit when you are in the dark days of having it messy, shall we say?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just like having a bedroom in your house. I think we all have a bedroom in our house that's like a dumping ground for all the crap, right?
And I'd be in trouble if I did because I'm a feng shui consultant. So no, I haven't, but I know a lot of people.
Okay, not you, most other people. You know, it's like, maybe it's just a closet, right?
All
you
right,
have
okay.
a closet where you dump all the crap and, you know, every time you open it, you hate looking at it, but you know that you need to organize it. You know, you need to declutter it, all of that good stuff. But you also know that when you open up the closet and you pull everything out, it's going to be messy. That's part of the process. And it's going to look worse before it looks better. Because before you weren't really looking at it and you maybe threw a sheet over the piles in the closet. But now that we're pulling everything out, there is a lot of value in awareness because what we pay attention to improves. And it's so interesting because when I first start working with clients, one of the things that we do is I get them set up on a personal finance app that helps them track their money. And it shows them in real time what they're spending on all their different categories. And it's amazing how once they see how much money they're spending on things like eating out or groceries or entertainment, they automatically start adjusting, even without me telling them.
Yeah.
You know, because they see the number and they're like, oh my God, why are we spending this much money on eating out? Just that awareness helps to change their behavior. But I think just understanding and knowing that it's going to be messy in the middle and it's supposed to be, and this is normal.
And I think one of the nicest things you said, or the very supportive things, is when people work with you, you know what you're talking about. You do not make them feel guilty. You don't. Your job is to help them because you understand it. And I think, you know, in a world where everything's fast and go, I think that's a really good quality you've got there, Christine. Really good quality, that's for sure.
So, okay,
it's sort of the same question. How important is self-worth in our relationship with money? You've sort of talked about it.
It's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to say that money problems aren't really about money. Most of them are about self-worth. Because when we don't feel like we are worthy, then we are blocking the channels of abundance. Now, you and I both know this is a very abundant universe. There is more than enough for everybody. There's more than enough resources. But when we feel like we have to perform a certain way in order to deserve things, if we feel like we're not inherently worthy, we carry that in our energetic vibration. And we think that God or the universe is withholding from us. And that's not true. No. God and the universe are meeting us at our vibration.
Yeah.
So when, if I say the only way for me to get rich is to work really hard, then the universe is like, okay,
here's the hard
here's work. A bunch of opportunities to work hard.
I know. It's so important what you're saying.
You know, but if I say, you know, I'm open to receiving money in all of the ways, then the universe is like, all right, rock on, sister. Here's a bunch of different ways. And some of it might be doing some work, and some of it might be receiving money where the only thing I have to do is say thank you.
I know. And I try to say this quite often to people, you know, I am on the air and I am saying it out loud, and people don't really know what I do. But I'm very much involved with Street Cats. And they are, you know, a cat is a cat. No, it's a little energy in a furry jacket. And some of them on the streets, they survive and some don't. Yeah. And I just think of that as, how do I say it? I feel when I meet them, as they seem to find me, you know, randomly, people say, oh my God, I bet that cat needs saving. and I think that that's it. We are. What you do in what you do is you're here so that people have got someone that they can genuinely come to talk to, someone that they really understands it because they've been there, and you know, they will gain nothing but knowledge from you. And by the way, I didn't know there's an app, so that's really handy because we never think about what we spend, do we?
Yeah, we don't. And the other thing is too, one of the things, yes, I'm going to give people the financial knowledge and the tools and help them get organized. And I'm also going to help them see their own worthiness and their own power and value. And that is one of the things that I do for people, is that I reflect that to them and say, you know, you are worthy of all of this, just as worthy as I am. And we need to start correcting those thoughts, those things that you're saying, so we can change that vibration so that you can be a conduit for wealth. Because I love that you said that it's not just about money coming to you and it never flowing back out. One of my favorite mantras is money flows to me and through me in ever-increasing amounts. So that means not only am I receiving more, I'm spending more, I'm giving more. And yes, of course I am investing more and saving more, but it's not just about being a receptacle and none of it ever flowing out, because that's not healthy either.
No. And it, you know, when you hear about people that die and they've had millions of money and then they wouldn't leave it anyway, that's another story. So what final message would you love our listeners to take away from today's show?
I think what I would love for them to take away is that money is a skill that can be learned. This is not something that's inherent that, oh, I'm good with money or, oh, I'm bad with money. This is a skill. It's a tool. And, you know, it's up to us to get practice using the tool. It's never too late. That's and lovely. It's never too early.
That's lovely. I love that. So where can my listeners find you?
Yeah, the best place to find me is on my website, which is my name, christinelukin.com. I am also on all the major social media channels. If you just search my name, I'll probably be the first person to pop up.
Oh, huge thank you today, Christine. You know, for such an inspiring and light, heartfelt conversation. And you know what? I've really enjoyed it because you've given so much to our listeners. If they hear it, if they don't hear it in the first thing, please listen to it again. And I'm just asking all our listeners, if this resonated with you, please do share it with others. So thank you, Christine.
No, oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.